Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, crossed the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going hot," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
I went around that truck and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Well, today we're talking with Josh.
You didn't wait 10 seconds.
Oh, freaking heck. Now you're the sound Nazi.
Well, I'll back it up.
Now I got to figure out how to do that.
Forget it. Just start 10 seconds now.
All right, stop talking.
All right, that's more than 10 seconds. Start.
Okay. Today we're talking to Josh. Josh, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. Today? Shipper, say hello.
Howdy.
Well, that's not hello, but that'll do.
Welcome to the show. What a show.
What a show it is. Well, Josh drives at Pitt, Ohio with us. Josh, how long have you been at Pitt?
I've been at Pitt, Ohio 8 years this past July.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's gone by fast, hasn't it?
It is flying, yeah.
Freaking A. And you've tried on a couple of hats at Pitt. You do city, yeah. And you've done the road, and then you went back to the city because you're crazy.
Yeah.
Well, no, he just wanted to get paid for all his time sitting around.
Yeah, he's not used to not getting paid, so he's like, I can't do this road thing.
That I might have been single by the time, you know, if I would have kept on line haul, you know.
There you go, yeah. Yeah, there you go. You married?
No, but me and my girlfriend been together for 10 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. Awesome. You know.
Got news for you. You live in Pennsylvania, right?
Absolutely.
Common law.
Common law is set in, so that's why, you know, we just, we love it. So.
Why go through all the rigmarole, right?
That's
expense
how we feel.
And the money. And
yeah.
Yeah, I know. I've got a daughter getting married in November, and I know what you, I know. Believe me, I know.
No, but yeah, done the city stuff, came in. You know, then went to line haul. I enjoyed line haul. I love truck driving at night. That's always, I always feel like that's kind of like the different sides of trucking I love between the city and then just getting out there on the road and going, you know, that's.
Yes. Thank God he was in line haul because that night I threw that belt down there on 83 in Baltimore, in Maryland.
Yeah.
It was the coldest night in hell.
That was
in
cold.
Baltimore?
On the way down, and literally the truck they brought out to me froze, and the tow truck lost the ferry off the roof.
Wow.
I remember
couldn't get it. The tow truck guy couldn't get the truck started. I says, "I guess you're going back.
Want a ride?
Yeah,
he didn't even offer me a ride. I had to stay with the shit.
Freaking out.
Yeah. I remember because wasn't that one of the Sterling tractors? I think it was. Yeah, it was missing the top.
Yeah, they brought me a Sterling on top of it. You know, because that blows great heat.
Yeah.
You always get the good stuff when stuff breaks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's your punishment.
Oh, yeah.
You broke it.
Yeah, exactly.
So meanwhile, back to Josh. Yeah.
Back to Josh. So how'd you get into trucking? What was your impetus?
Well, see, that's what's funny is, you know, myself, my brother Zach, we are actually third generation truck drivers.
No kidding.
Our grandfather drove, our dad drives truck. And, you know, you'd think a third generation truck driver like myself, I grew up, you know, with little truck toys and stuff like that. Can't wait to get in. I actually had no interest in trucking up until about my junior year of high school.
No kidding.
You know, I was sitting there. I wasn't the best student or, you know, the most ambitious, but.
Welcome to the club.
You got a participation award.
Yeah.
There you go. That's it.
Even that, maybe not so much. But
I wasn't really participating.
No, was, no. But I remember sitting there going, well, it's junior year. I need to kind of figure out, you know, the initial thought was, I'll go to community college, get some kind of degree. But then I was like, I really don't like school. So.
No sense taking the SATs.
Yeah. And I didn't. And so I kind of started, you know, like people of my generation, we Google, you know, top blue collar jobs. And I'm looking at one that keeps popping up is truck driving. I'm like, you know what? My dad was a truck driver. My grandfather was a truck driver. Maybe I want to look into this.
Maybe there's really something in it.
Maybe. And so that's what I kind of set my sights to. And, you know, I graduated high school. I came out. I worked for about 9 months doing warehouse stuff. And then I went to Northampton. I did end up going to community college, but it was for a Class A CDL rather than an associate's degree.
Yes, sir.
So that started, I was 18 when I got my license.
Right. Wow. So he graduated the community college and got a degree in transportation engineering.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Look at that. And I promise you, they do still hit me up for donations to the community college.
You're an alum. So. I don't know what they're doing with the money. It's community college.
I couldn't tell you, but yeah, they definitely still send me pamphlets in the mail.
Wow,
but,
that's right. Nice. That is nice. Yeah.
Help us give everybody else their $10,000.
Exactly. You know what? They I don't think they're going to forgive my loan.
No, probably not.
That was paid off in cash. That was the 9 months of warehouse work.
There you go. That. That's fantastic.
Oh, so you're saying you worked to move better yourself.
I did. I did. Yeah.
That's a funny thought.
You know, but
That is a funny thought, isn't it?
That was the beginning. Yeah, that was the beginning. You know, you could be in Pennsylvania, you could be 18, get your CDL. So I had everything, but it was hard getting a job at first.
Yeah.
You know, it took about 3 months. I went back to temp work doing warehouse work.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah. I had to go back to that. Eventually somebody bit. I got into food service doing that for a company out of Stroudsburg. And, they got my start and. You know, it was rough for them and rough for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
It's getting that time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Driving and all
up
that.
Up there, did they get paid by the hour? No. I remember they used to say they used to get paid by the rate.
Because Pennsylvania law, since I was under 21 and I technically wasn't regulated by the federal laws, they had to pay me hourly.
Wow.
Everybody else got paid a salary plus an incentive.
Okay.
But since I was under 21, they had to pay me by the hour. Yeah. It was something like 13 or 14 bucks an hour at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, Brian. You started at $13 an hour. $3.15, no?
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah.
Kmart.
Oh, there you go.
In high school,
Light special.
$3.15 an hour.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That's where I got my start, food service. I was, you know, I couldn't go out of the state, but I got to major cities, Philadelphia a lot. You know, I spent a lot of time in Wilkes-Barre and Scranton area.
Isn't that exciting?
I learned how to say Wilkes-Barre correctly.
There you go.
And,
Joe Biden Expressway.
Yeah, that's it. The Electric City.
Yeah.
But yeah,
powered by coal.
Yeah, but that's how I got my start.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's really awesome.
Food service is a bear, but
it is. I know. I did it for it was the first job I had driving.
It
sucked.
Yeah,
they work.
Yeah,
they earn their every freaking penny they make. They earn it.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, I always thought that, and after I did it, I was
And Brian at an early age says this is like too much work.
This isn't good.
It is. And you know, I actually really enjoyed it. I did enjoy the work. Again, when I was thinking about becoming a truck driver, and you know, the thought was I was going to be in a sleeper cab. I was going to be in Arizona the one day. I'm going to be in Utah the next. I'm going to go out here. That was the thought. Yep. You know, no actual address. I'll get a PO box somewhere and just drive around the country.
Live in my truck.
But then I started doing day cab work and being home every night. Like, you know, I saw the appeal.
Yeah, it's kind of nice sleeping in my own bed.
It was, and you know, I ended up, you know, actually really liking food service, and I got, you know, doing more customer based delivery. I really enjoyed that. So
that's
kind
really
of
cool.
How my career progressed past there. Every job I had, and, you know, I got a little bit with the food service company. We did some overnights. You know, you go out with sleeper a couple days at a time, deliver to chain restaurants and stuff like that. So I got a little bit of the, you know, I go out there, go see a little bit of this and that. But yeah, most of my jobs have been, you know, like I said, customer delivery based, and it's pretty much, you know, I did all that leading up to Pitt.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. You know, it's one of those funny things. I always find it, to me, it's ironic. It's weird. It's a crazy thought. You know, when I first learned how to drive a truck, it was, you know, see the country, you know, go see the country, you know, and get paid. Yeah, I see the country through my windshield at night in the dark.
Yep.
Doesn't really do me much good. I know it's out there somewhere, but, you know, I don't really see a whole lot of it. But, you know, if there's a paycheck in it at the end of the week.
There is. And, you know, I mean, the pay, you know, considering what else I could be doing or what I thought I'd be. I always tell everybody I've exceeded my expectations in life. My expectations were very low.
Yep. Yeah. But, set the bar low.
And I achieved them. I've done better.
Yeah. I've done better than that. You know, like I said, I'm not in the back of a sleeper every night. Exactly. I have a house I go to and, yeah. You know, it's nice. But yeah, no, I mean, you're right about that. It's funny. Like I remember, you know, my second job in trucking, you know, we were doing deliveries again and sometimes we do overnights. That we actually got hotels, which was, that was nice.
Yeah.
You know, you go out with a day cab, but I got to see a lot of, you know, going up into the Northeast and even going, you know, further down the coast towards Virginia, the Carolinas. And, you know, it really took, you really had to get so far away, a good 6-7 hours away before the foliage even changed on the highways.
Right.
And that was the reality. That's the world they're telling you to go see as a truck driver.
Yeah.
Well, that tree's a little different than the ones back at home.
Even the animals are the same.
Yeah,
it's not like anything's really changing.
Although I was very disappointed because I used to go up to New Hampshire a lot. And I love New Hampshire. I loved going up there. And, you know, I always saw the signs, moose crossing.
Right.
And I was just waiting. Go ahead. If you're going to cross.
I never saw one.
Yeah, you know, I was up there in the mountains and everything. Never saw one.
Wow.
Well, they only cross where those signs are posted.
And that's what I was waiting for.
That's why you stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on,
do it already. But yeah, yeah. No, like I said, I've gotten a little exposure to outside of, you know, just doing general local, you know, 200-mile radius kind of delivery jobs. But yeah, overall, you know, like I said, dealing with a lot of different customers. And then line haul at Pitt, I enjoyed that, you know, being able, you know, again, you're meeting a guy at a truck stop to swap trailers and head back to your home terminal.
Yeah.
But, you know, it gets you out. You get to see a little bit of different. Just get out on the road and relax.
And there's a paycheck at the end of the week.
And that's it.
I mean, for me, actually what it boils down to is like, you know, you know, there's a paycheck.
Yeah.
And it's a good one. You know,
and that's
pays
it.
Well.
You know, you look at your job. It's nice, you know, whether you are somebody who enjoys the line haul side of Pitt, Ohio, or LTL in general.
Right.
You
know,
you get to get in the truck, listen to what you want to listen to on the radio, or maybe you don't want to listen to anything at all.
Thank you.
Right. Like Shipper.
He does not listen to the radio.
I can tell you every rattle in that Mac.
There you go. See, and that's like my grandfather. My grandfather, one time, I think it was my dad, myself and him, we were just sitting there talking and talking about like CBs or radios. And my grandfather was like, I never did any of that.
Right.
I just, when I got in that truck, I drove. And I'll, you know.
Wow.
Congrats to you, my
man.
Yeah,
God bless him.
I couldn't imagine it. You know, there's definitely days you want to just sit back, enjoy the road, maybe get that window open a little bit. But, oh, I couldn't imagine every day going in there and, you know.
And that's what you got to look forward to.
Yeah.
Silence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing but the truck.
Yeah, there's plenty of voices in my head. You know, I got enough company.
Yeah. Keeps them entertained. All right.
Yeah. No. Like I said, That's a way to do it. I mean, you know.
It is.
And even listening to the CB isn't as fun these days.
No.
You know.
Yeah.
I've seen that even though like overall I've been in trucking now 14 and a half years.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just seeing the difference even from the CB to everything. And obviously the roads. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
It's
like they haven't done much work on the roads in the last 14 years. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's a construction zone everywhere.
Yep.
But nothing seems to change. It's like, you know, you have one bump here, we'll give you two. That's pretty much what they're doing.
There's been few places where, you know, you see these long projects go on and then finally they're done and you go, wow, that was actually better now.
Right.
You know, this is nice. Very few.
Exactly. There are very few. Although I will say Harrisburg is a lot nicer on 83. You know, they widened it and did all that. And that actually worked out really well. It's like once they actually get something like that done, you're right.
Yeah.
It is a lot nicer.
No,
it's just... It's a 5-mile section, and then there's, you know, everything else around it's not done. And you're like, what happened to the rest of the road?
Yep.
Where's my road taxes going?
I mean, you know, it's like you always sit there and, you know, Pennsylvania, we're a weird state. We get bad winters, you know, summers are pretty hot, so the roads take a beating.
They do.
But man, you know, sometimes you're like, I see the gas prices and I know the taxes you're taking out. You think it would be a little more bang for your buck, but.
Right. Yeah.
Here
well, the only bang you're really getting is when you're hitting the pothole. That's the bang. That's
it. Yeah.
You know, it's like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And with trucks, you know, I mean, especially with a day cab, I mean, you feel them and you know, it's not like, you know, you have a long wheelbase or anything like that, where you just kind of bounce over it and keep going. You know, you feel them.
And that's it. Like I drove Max. pretty much exclusively. Uh-huh. Like, you know, since I've been driving, I had a Freightliner at one company and International for a time at that, but I've pretty much driven Max. And, you know, everybody always knocks Max for, right. That's a truck that's for the owners rather than the drivers, because right. They're cheap. They, you know, they tend to hold up to the abuse, but they're not exactly, you know,
built for comfort.
Built for comfort. Yeah.
But it's okay though. Yeah. I mean, I don't live in it.
No.
I drive it, you know.
I'll be honest with you. I enjoy the Max. I like them overall. I've, you know.
Of all the trucks I've driven, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
They are the most ergonomically built. I mean, everything it seems like it's at the right spot.
Right where you
know,
need
when
it.
When we had the Sterlings, that you're like looking for stuff, you're looking for windshield wipers, you're looking for lights. It's like, where is it? Where are you hiding it? Yep. I mean, your freaking coffee holder is behind you. That's not going to work there, you know?
No, you're
It's like,
you're
what
right.
the heck?
And I felt like they've just gotten better from like, I mean, we had some CHs at my first job with the old style when that first came out. You know, that was kind of like the flat dash with, you know, the CB would sit in some recessed, you know, most of the time it was bouncing up, you know. Those were always cool. You know, the backlights were always burned out on. Didn't matter if you bought the thing brand new and you put 100 miles on it, most of the backlights were gone. Right. So, you know, driving at night was a struggle. But then to the Visions, I thought that's when they kind of started curving the cab a little bit.
Right.
And then the Pinnacles I thought were real nice up until the Anthems now, which I enjoy the Anthem setups, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, we call it nitpick.
There's always something, you know.
As long as you have a quiet hood.
That would be nice. That is the one thing. And I know they have a fix for it, but, you know, it just, I mean, rattle like crazy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all they have to do is put, I think there's some kit they throw on there that's supposed to keep them quiet.
Yeah, I wish they would throw it on.
There's bushing inside that metal. Plastic or rubber bushing.
Yeah.
Makes it all quiet.
And you know, coming from the company that was bought by Volvo.
Right.
And Volvo's had those hoods for how long now? With the, you know, the release on the front, you know, no straps or anything like that.
Yep.
You think they would maybe give them some trade secrets from the Volvo side. Hey, all you got to do is...
All you got to do is buy two $5 straps and put on the sides of your back in business.
Or you can do what I've seen other drivers do and just get a whole bunch of, you know, like a big roll of tape and just wrap tape around that. Where the hood latch comes down, wrap, and it quiets it down. And it's like, it cost me, you know, 50 cents.
I don't mind worth
of tape, and we're good to go. You know, so, it, you know, everything has, you know, not everything, but some things have a simple fix, and that's a simple fix, but I'd rather them do it the right way.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it's like you'd rather see them just go spend the extra money, fix it right.
Whatever it is, you know, whatever that money is.
Because to a lot of people, they think that little rattle, oh, is that really so annoying? Yes, it is. After 500, 600 miles a day,
What do you always say, Ship?
What?
Come take a ride with me.
Yeah, five words.
Yeah.
Take a ride with me.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Because, you know, try and explain it to somebody. They're like, oh, so it rattles.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? You think it just rattles? Sit in that seat over there, buddy. Let's go for a ride. I'm going to show you some rattles. It's an automatic. You drive it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not hard.
And now turn the radio on and see how loud you have to put the radio so you can actually hear it over the rattles.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. Those are some of the little things that, you know, kind of like little pet peeves with the trucks, but
but overall, and you know what's funny is you talk to a guy who's driven Peterbilt all of his life, he drove Kenworths all his life, everybody's got this is actually what I don't like about these trucks. They all got their problems, but you know, you get used to them, and you know, you like what you like.
My theory driving. It ain't mine. I turn the key, it starts. I turn the key off, it ends. I go home, they pay me.
Doesn't have my name on it.
Well, isn't that the dream? You know, your name on the side of the truck.
No.
Say no.
That's the funny thing. Everybody, you know, that I know, most guys, I know there are a few guys that you know who've, you know, gone independent and that kind of stuff. But, you know, you drive for a company and you get a paycheck. Your health benefits are taken care of.
Yeah.
You know, you're working every day. You're not scrounging for work. You know, it's provided. It's there for you. You know, that's the beauty of the LTL business.
It's great. Yeah. And I always said LTL is like, that's the closest to like banker hours you could get. It's consistent at the very least.
It's not banker's hours.
If your banker works from 12 to 12.
24 hours. You know,
I say that, you know, coming from jobs where it was like literally one day you start at 2 a.m. The next was like 7, you know, and just jumping back and forth. At least with LTL, I have a consistent start time.
Yeah.
Sure, I don't finish up the same time all
exactly.
the time. It's the closest thing you're going to get in the trucking industry, is. Which is a bear. Again, you know, yep. it's like...
It's the business.
The paychecks are nice, but, you know, yep. especially like I started in 2008. Mm-hmm. And seeing there was a lot of people, you know, your local dentist decided, hey, you know, there's not much work going on. People are staying home. They're letting their teeth rot out. I think I'm going to jump in a truck now. And he gets in the truck and then he realizes like the paycheck is not worth it if there's not something about the industry you don't like.
Right.
You know, if you can't at least get in that truck, get that truck going and go, wow, this is cool. I'm driving this $150,000 vehicle. Right. You know, it's got, you know, a straight six diesel and it's just chugging smoke out the back. All right. You know, and like I said, you know, it's a long career for guys who literally just do it for the paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, it is rough.
It's a job.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, you know, I mean, I know it's a career move. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things that, you know, I've said to Ship before, you know, I talk to young guys and they don't know what they, you know, well, I don't know what I want to do, you know. Well, you can always get your CDL. And then sometimes I think to myself, maybe they shouldn't, you know, like.
That's how I feel. I've talked to kids at warehouses that I'm delivering to. I say kids, you know, they're like 10 years younger than me.
Right.
But, you know, they'll ask me about trucking or they'll say, oh, I'm thinking about getting into it. And, you know, I just say, hey, man, there's just got to be something about it that you're going to enjoy on some level. Don't just do it for the money. Because I know guys who they do stick it, you know, they do a career in trucking just for the paycheck and they're miserable
and they
every day and they hate every aspect of it and it's really hard. It's really hard and I don't blame them because there's some days I'd want to take that license, cut it up
and say goodbye. I'm not coming back.
See you later.
I'm going to Amazon. I'm going to work in going to work in the warehouse and that's it.
Yeah.
You know? And then I look at my paycheck. I'm like, okay, I'll stay. Ship always says, you know, well, my paycheck, you know, is in the bank. It's Thursday morning. My paycheck's there. I guess I got to come back in tonight. It's like, that's it. You know, and that's what keeps you coming back.
I say to guys all the time, the first thing I do on Thursday morning is check my bank account, make sure the check cleared. Okay, now we could go to work.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah. You know,
if it ain't there, I'm not there.
I don't hear a ding.
There's
a problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We ain't friends then.
No. Yeah. You know,
but it's an it's a good job. And you know, and it is one of those jobs that you have to find something about that you like.
Yeah.
Do. You know, I cannot see myself working in a warehouse anymore.
No.
You know, like you just get so used to being out, you know, you're inside a cab.
You can't be cooped up because that's the way I was.
Yeah.
I went from inside the garage to the tow truck and.
Right.
And then I went back inside again and I'm like, I can't, I gotta get the heck out of here.
Yeah. I don't know. You know,
I look at like office life and stuff like that.
Dealing with people like that.
Just dealing with people. I mean,
that's
the beauty of being like a line haul driver. We see very few people. I mean, we see a bunch of them on the roads, but you know,
we don't ask too much. Our loads are ready at a specific time. The paperwork's done at a specific time.
And we're on our way.
If you have those three things in place, you see me for about 5 to 6 minutes and goodbye.
Everybody's happy.
Yes. Believe me, when Shipper's moving, everybody's happy.
You're damn right.
Well, listen, hey, everybody's loving it because that's just profits moving down the road.
Is.
And that's, I mean,
everybody's making money that way.
That's everybody's happy at that point. And, you know, that's you know, like going back to the independent truckers, that's what's hard about it. You know, every little hiccup, you know, like, you know, I've done the mileage thing or salary where, you get pretty mad having to sit at a warehouse or sit somewhere where you're not. But man, when you're independent, it hurts more, you know.
Yeah.
Every little bit.
Every minute costs.
Yeah.
Every minute costs.
You do the mileage and you wish you were hourly because you're not getting the miles.
Yeah.
Then you go hourly and it's like, I wish it was paid mileage because I could be done a lot sooner.
Well, you know, and then that is
playing devil advocate the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Going back and forth. Oh, I used to sit there and that's why I would drive myself nuts when I was line haul. I'd equate every night. I go, okay, I worked 10 hours. I would have made this much on the city hourly. But, you know, those days.
But I donated 3 hours because I had three lunches.
You know, never mind.
Not by my choice.
Yeah. I never patted myself on the back when I was like, well, I made, you know, $100 more in less time than if I was on the city,
right?
But, you know, again, here I am back on the city, and you know,
But, you know, you find what you like, you know. That's the other nice thing about this job is that there are different aspects to it where you, you know, like you said, you can be an independent and do your thing and own everything, own the truck, own the trailer. It's all yours.
It could be so different. I mean, yeah, you talk about a guy who's just going cross country, team driving, anything like that, regional drivers. You get home every weekend. Or if you're somebody who enjoys, you know, the pace of LTL food service, which, I mean, I've known a lot of guys who, you know, they fell into like, you know, LTL or food service. And they're like, I like this so much more.
Yeah.
You know, this is where, you know, I don't want to just be in a truck driving 500 miles, which to each their own, you know, both jobs need to get done.
And, definitely.
You know, plenty of companies want to hire you to do it. So
yes, they do. And they want to pay you.
They do.
They're willing to.
Right now, especially, you know, and that's why I encourage if anybody does want to get into the industry, if it's something that seems like you'll like, give it a shot.
Yeah.
At least you feel it out, you know. I mean, what's worse thing? A company hires you on, you stay for 6 months, and then you leave.
Right. I mean, you don't owe anybody anything. You know, if you don't like it, move on, and, you know, you'll find something else.
You go right back to the warehouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've talked to plenty of people like that. I mean, that was the funniest thing doing food service. I'd go into these kitchens, and, you know, the chef would be talking to you. He goes, I actually drove truck for a few years, but, you know, I'm back to doing this. You know, I liked it, but it just, you know, a lot of people get into the industry, you fall into the over the road because that's most of the companies that want to hire you.
Yeah, right. That's your first job.
That's your first one. Yeah. It seems like food service and over the road, those are certainly some stepping stones to trucking.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's a grind, man. You know, especially for people, if you do it while you're younger, you might be getting established with a family. You know, you got a fiance who you want to make a wife. She's not too happy being alone for, you know, weeks, days on end.
Months.
Yeah, months at times.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these companies will keep you out for months on end.
Yeah.
They might tell you you'll be gone for 3 days, but, you know.
It turns into 3 months.
Yeah.
Just don't forget what your address is so you know how to find your house.
Yeah.
You can put it in your GPS and get home. It's like, it's one of those things that, like, my wife she's always been really good with it. When I started driving trucks, she understood. She's like, okay, you know, and she understood that it's truck driver hours. And I told her, it's not going to be a 9-to-5-er. There's no such thing in this industry as 9-to-5.
No.
You know, you learn that really fast.
You do.
You know?
And luckily, like I said, I've been with my girlfriend 10 years now, but I think I was in the industry about 3-4 years before we got together. And I saw plenty of guys and plenty of people that just didn't realize it. You know, plenty of guys, their wives, I mean, whether ended up in divorce or whatever, or, you know, just contention within the relationship.
Yeah.
It's hard to get that across that, hey, I'm not going to be here for 10 to 12 hours a day.
Right.
When I get home, I also need
I'm not going to be here.
Yeah.
for another 2 hours. I got to decompress.
Right. I spent 10, 12 hours alone by myself, but now I need an hour at home by myself.
Yes.
And that's hard. I understand it's hard within the confines of a relationship and add children to the mix where you got to make sure to give. So it's hard. It's hard.
We've said that on a prior show that, you know, how many guys you know that you've talked to, they're on wife number 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're going to be in this industry, you know, she's got to be in it with her eyes wide open too. And she's got to, you know, like you have 10 years vested in, you know, in this and you're not even married yet. So she kind of knows. You know, if she don't know by now, she's never going to know.
Right.
But, you know, and like you said, trust goes, you know, it's all built on trust.
Absolutely.
You don't have that. You might as well just quit now.
And you know, it's better today. And now I think about, so like our mom.
Zach.
You know, but I think about our mom. She, you know, my dad, he drives truck. He drives at night, basically doing what you guys do.
Wow.
And that's how we grew up. He's been doing that 30 years. 30 some years now. So she was at home, 3 kids she had, and she was doing it all by herself because, you know, the guy's got to sleep during the day.
Yep.
And mind you, he's I don't know how he does it. He's one of those guys, he could sleep 2-3 hours and keep moving.
Oh,
you know,
man.
My hat goes off to him.
Oh, heck yeah. God bless him.
Yeah, but you throw kids into the mix, you know, now you got the baseball, the basketball, the football, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, this one's got to be here. This one's got to be here. And now it's your, you know, only one person.
One person.
One parent doing this. It's like.
It's hard.
You know, she was super mom.
Yeah, she's got
to
depend.
She had to do
everything. Well, that's where you got the cape from.
Yeah.
It was mom.
It was mom. Your own mom.
Isn't that where we all get it from?
It is. Yeah.
You know, I really didn't process that until I started doing this job, thinking I was like, I was like, look at that was gone. From, you know, what, like
a lot of times 6:30 when we were going up, he'd be 6:30
6:30 because he was driving up to Stroudsburg and then not get home till 8-9 in the morning. And she had to do dinner, homework, bedtime, get us up, get us to school,
keep the household,
all the other stuff. And I just I think back on it, I'm like, I don't know how she did it. Three boys, and then being there by herself at night, I don't know how.
And you know, like, again, you know. I know when she started working more part time, we were kind of more settled. We were getting older, you know, teenagers kind
of. Yeah, you can take care of yourself.
Yeah, so
you can handle yourself a little bit. Yeah.
She starts working, and then, you know, like them, they're not even seeing each other through the week.
They didn't see
you know, it was like Saturday and Sunday, they finally get together. And yeah,
that's what makes the relationship last.
It is.
Sometimes, you know, I mean, listen, you know, some people that, you know, you need that constant connection. I know, like, me personally, I'm an introverted kind of person. Me and the girlfriend, that's pretty much what we do now. You know, we don't really see each other much through the week.
Right.
We get together on the weekends and that's about it, but we're both good. So, and you got, you know, I think for a lot of people in the trucking industry, you got to find that kind of woman.
Right.
Where,
yeah,
or, you know, there's a lot of women in trucking now. You got to find that man who, you know, you can work on that kind of schedule. Yeah,
who's willing to be that, and, that, you know.
You know, but getting back, it's like today it's not as bad. You got the technology. All I got to do is call her. I can text her. You know,
FaceTime. You can actually see each other. Right, you know, you can actually see each other.
I mean, I'm sure you guys see it before you're driving down the road. Some guy's driving. He's got his phone mounted and there's somebody's face who's talking to him. Yeah. I mean, you know, and then
and
I
he's
go.
Swerving all over the road.
There you go.
Hey, he's trying to keep a relationship alive. So come some slack.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. You know what?
But, you know, but those are the conveniences we don't have these days, you know. And then, like, there's a story. Our grandfather, who was in winter, he had to go. He worked for a concrete company.
Okay.
And he went out. I think it was early morning one day. Snowstorm was supposed to be coming in. He's going out to Long Island. So he leaves and the storm's getting worse and worse. He ends up, I think it was the Long Island Expressway or something out
there. World's largest parking lot.
That, and that's what it was. Dead stopped. You know, so he's just sitting there for hours. Finally, eventually, I think it was the National Guard was actually out there saying, hey, come on, we're taking people to a gymnasium. So he's gone. And my grandmother, again, she had three kids, two boys, one girl. She's at home, literally no phone call, nothing. She called, you know, his home terminal and said, hey, you know, where's Frankie at? And they're like, well, everybody's in but Frankie.
Wow.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So,
and then that starts the downhill slope of something happens.
So, and then, you know, that's all she knows. Yeah. She just knows he's not in and he's somewhere.
Wow.
So he was, I think it was, it wasn't until he finally that night, later at night, or maybe even the morning, he finally got to a phone, called her and said, hey, you know, I'm just stuck. At, but, you know, I mean, these days that wouldn't even be a thing.
Right.
You know, you're significant.
King my truck.
She can call you or you can call her.
Right.
You know? She probably knows how bad your day is already because, you know, you're probably texting her, oh man, it's storming out here. This sucks. You know, but, you know,
taking pictures and texting him to her. Look at the freaking snow.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, it's not snowing here at the terminal.
yeah. It's beautiful over here.
60 inches of snow and not a snow plow around. What the freaking heck? This is PA.
Yeah. But no, it, you know, so that's the difference. I mean, you know, I'm
it really is.
Glad to see it because I again, you could just imagine that. You don't know where this person's at for a day and a half.
Yeah.
You know, eventually he comes strolling in and now you've been taking care of the kids for days. Yeah. You know, and again, you know, you look at it from both sides. He just came in a day and a half driving through hell. Yeah. She just dealt with three kids for a day and a half by herself.
Going through hell.
You're both pointing at each other like it's your turn.
Yep.
You know, it's like, so yeah. I mean, it's a crazy industry you're in. I mean, you know, you see people trying to fix it to make it more. That's the biggest resistance you get from, I would say, people my age and younger than me is people are trying to like, well, can't you make trucking 40 hours? Do you really got to have it like this? And there's just these hard concrete walls you're both running up against where it's like, no, this is trucking. If we want to keep it moving and, you know.
Yep.
The price of meat doesn't double and everything else doesn't double overnight. Then, we need guys who are going to go out there, be stuck in a snowstorm for 20 hours.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah. And, you know, it's
it happened
like it
to
or
me.
Not.
Yeah. I mean,
we've all
it has happened.
I was,
it happened to me.
It happened to me on my way home from Penn.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm like, Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day on
Sunday. Oh, my word. I'm sitting on freaking 78. It's like,
that one.
What was that?
I had a buddy who got caught in that too.
It was 90. No, it was 2006 or 2007.
Oh, it drove me nuts, man. I'm sitting there and
And that all started. That was that started as one little incident,
yes. Right?
Because I was going east, and I'm like, look at this traffic. And I drove all the way back to Jersey, you know, because I did a pit turn every day out of Jersey. And I'm like, well, I can get home. You know, it's not backed all the way up, you know. So I got home, but I'm like,
yeah, I didn't.
Yeah. And the next, and I remember the next morning, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going. I was still sitting there
the next night.
Oh. Yeah. They got 78 still blocked. We're not going nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, then they ran me up over 80 and come down in the,
that was nuts.
Pittsburgh off 79 then.
Yeah. It was one of those weird nights, you know.
Yeah.
That was just one of those weird things. And what are you going to do? You know, like I'm driving home from work in the morning. I got to mile marker 32.
Yeah.
And that's where
just 2 miles before the Hamburg exit where I was going to get off at. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm 2 miles from my exit and this is where I'm sitting. I sat there and right into the next night, I think I came off the highway at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
I was like, this is ridiculous, you know? So I didn't go to work that night.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
I didn't get home yet.
My wife did get her flowers though. So, you know, they got delivered.
Right. No, I mean, that's what you look at. Every trucker, for the most part, has a story of the 20-hour days, you just go through it. I mean, you see things changing, obviously, with electronic logs. I was kind of on the precipice of that. You didn't have so much electronic logs. Plenty of stories of, I didn't even have a dual log. I didn't put that much effort into it. It was just like, again, those New Hampshire runs. I always said if a DOT officer pulled me over, you know, he looked at the log, he goes, okay, you were up in Conway, New Hampshire when you logged off, which is at the top of the state. We're down here by White River Junction now. Something's not adding up, you know.
Your log's wrong.
Yeah. Sorry, officer. You know what? Just plead ignorance, you know.
There you go. Yeah.
Look, I use my abacus. It comes out right.
Everything seems right, you know, but that's the industry. It's what's asked of you every day.
It is.
You know,
and that chance, you know, that something's going to happen, that chance that you, you know, I mean, and things happen to you, you know?
Yeah. You're just there for the ride.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. You're there for the ride. That's a good way to put it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you try to enjoy it every day.
That's it.
But it doesn't always work out.
No.
But you do the best you can.
Yeah. I mean, whether or not you're leaving from the get-go, you know, you're up against it or just everything goes wrong through the day.
When I was a city driver, I felt like I was up against it every day.
Every day.
The minute I left the yard, I'm like, when you're rolling out at that 10 or 11 o'clock and you're like, this is going to suck.
Yep.
Yeah.
But some of those days, though, you know, you leave with that attitude and the freight just falls off the trailer.
Right. Yes.
And it's like by 2:30, it's like you're empty.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you literally just got started by noon.
Yeah.
And some of those, and then you have those days where you can't get an ounce of freight off the truck to save your ass.
Yeah. Freight has been a little bit easier for me to like calm down and not have so much at the back of my head like that. Cause food service was always, it was you against you. This is the run they gave you.
Right.
You're getting back when it's done. So if you want to take your time, you want to put only a couple cases on the hand cart and roll it in.
Yep.
Nah, we're going to stack it up as tall as you, try to hold it as you squeeze it through.
An upside down Christmas tree. You just see the thing coming.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't fit through the door, but on the bottom it does.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's like that was all you had against you. You just had to get it done. Yeah, you had the traffic and stuff like that, but however fast you could get that food into the restaurant and then get back in the truck and head to the next one, that was pretty much it. Yep. With LTL, you know, there's so many variables.
Oh, yeah.
You got to deliver to a customer that hopefully has a dock open.
Yep.
You know, hopefully the freight comes off all right. Hopefully you can get it off. Sometimes it's faster. You just get it off yourself than wait for them to come with a forklift, you know, that only Stan in the back could drive because he's been certified on it.
And he's on lunch.
He's on lunch. And, you know,
Stan just left for today.
Yeah, you know, and then it takes 5 minutes to warm it up because it's from 1955, you know.
Right.
So, you know. But yeah, you just run into all that. But again, you know, some days it all works out. Yeah. They're waiting for you. They got, you know, they're waiting at the door with the forklift and
they're excited to see you.
Yeah.
They're not like, what do you want?
Right.
You know, they're actually happy to see you.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm here with your freight.
Yeah. Today, you know my name.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's like with LTL, I was able to kind of like calm down, go, you know, kind of let it go. Just go, okay, you know. whatever happens, happens. Yeah. And I even had, when I was doing food service, you know, like I said, I was an idiot kid. I was just trying to ram jam everything, you know, go, go, go.
Right.
And, you know, and the fact I wasn't getting paid to sit around or wait doesn't help.
That's a motivator, isn't
that
it?
That is a motivator.
I'm not getting paid by the hour.
Right. You know, I remember one of the older guys was like, listen, if you get yourself, you know, just if you start pushing yourself too far, or you start running around, you got to slow down. You're just going to stress yourself out, and then things start going wrong. Yep. And especially when things start going wrong, don't stress out more. You just got to calm down. Yep. And, you know,
gets worse,
as simple as that advice is, it really is. You got to take it to heart, because it's the difference between a bad day, a good day. And,
it is. And it's hard to keep that focus.
It is.
You know, when once things start falling apart.
Yeah.
It's easy to get, it's easy to get stressed, and it's hard to pull yourself back from that precipice.
It is.
You know?
And you want to cut the corners then. You just want to make the day easier anyway. Yeah. And, you know, you end up, you know, hurting yourself more than it was worth. But yeah, that all takes time. And I mean, with this industry, cause it's not like the industry is going to help you. They're not going to, you know, maybe it's a little different these days where you're going to come into a job and they'll kind of work with, yeah, we won't take it to it. Not how I got brought into it, you know.
Exactly.
With the jobs I had, you know. Because, again, like, you know, those food service jobs, over-the-road jobs, they know they're a grinding mill.
Yep.
They know they're just going to throw whatever they could at you. You're probably going to be gone in a couple years if you make it that long.
Yep.
So they're going to get their work out of you.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and hope somebody else walks through that door with the CDL.
Right. Which it's getting harder and harder for.
It is.
But yeah, so it's, you know, it's hard.
You run North Jersey?
Mostly. Yeah.
How do you like it over there? Is there an area that you run over there?
I tend to, like I said, Zach and I, we both kind of run Clifton, Carlstadt. You know, I spent a lot of time in that area. I spent a lot of time down Secaucus, Northburg, and Kearney, you know. Dip my feet in Newark and all that fun stuff. You know, with Pitt, you know, I've been through our whole Allentown service area. You know, I've done all the North Jersey stuff, kind of like landed in that general area. You know, I like Jersey and how we do it at Pitt, because, you know, going out to Jersey, you get your ride out, which, you know, that could help in the morning or hurt you. Again, you know, you're either behind the eight ball or you get an hour and a half to kind of collect yourself for the day,
right?
You know,
say your prayers,
right.
You know,
but you know, the problem with that North Jersey is just, like, you know, a lot of places, it's a lot of metro area with old infrastructure.
Yes,
you know, and again, it'd be nice if we could all run straight trucks and pups into those areas, but again, you don't make money running straight trucks and pups for every delivery. So, you know, you go out to an area that was built back when single axles and 45s were probably the standard, or maybe even pups.
40s.
Right, or 40s.
40s was the biggest trailer.
Now you're trying to put a tandem axle tractor, which, you know, we got our nice Mac Anthems, boot guards on the front, you know, but doing all that with a 48, 53, or, you know, it gets hard, you know, and like I said, those guys who want those cheap rents in the middle of town, oh, they love it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They love it. Yeah. There's just enough room to get by, you know?
We get trucks in here all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get there and you're like, no, you don't.
No. No. And so you run up against that. I remember years ago, it was one of those winters where the snow just kept piling. Uh-huh. You know, it wasn't where it was 70 degrees one day, so it all melted away, you know.
Right.
It was just piling up, and I was at a customer's, and, you know, they had a drop trailer in one door. You know, of course, it's got to be, every other day, it's like a pup there. Now today, it's a 53.
That's because they couldn't get in there for 2 days.
That was probably it. Yeah, in all reality. So, you know, that room now that is taken up by the big trailer that you needed to swing out into the little cove they had dug out, wasn't like it was cement or pavement or anything. It was like rock and, you know, right before a field, you know, that's all messed up. And now it's even further in, you know, you have less space because of the snow banks from the plows.
And it's all ice.
And I remember trying to get into the other dock. I'm going. I'm pulling up. I'm cutting through the snow, you know, everything. I finally backed up, you know, back to where I started. And I walked in and I go to, you know, the shipping manager or wherever. I go, man, I just can't get into that dock.
Right.
Oh, come on. We just had a guy here. He got in and out. No problem. So, you know, his supervisor comes over. What's the problem? You know, explain it to him. Right. I was like, okay, guys, I'll give it one more shot, man. I'll do it. They both come out. They're watching me cut through the snows, and I can't do it. I go back to my starting position again.
Right.
I go, guys, you know, And then the guy who was giving me grief about the guy who was just in there with a trailer, he goes, yeah, well, he did have a smaller trailer. Oh, really? Get out of here. And you know, it was probably a pup trailer.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's like, you know.
Wow.
I get it.
I remember that when I was up in Patterson, and they had a lot of snow, and you know, they're piling on every corner.
And that's it.
And there I am with the 53-footer. Yeah, well,
yeah.
We're going to move this bank down the block a little bit. Whatever. Right.
There's plenty of places I've been where I've, you know, turned through. You catch that edge of the snow bank.
Right.
Listen, I don't know if it's a snow bank because there was a bunch of snow there, or there was a car that snow was piling.
Right.
I don't know. But either way, I made it through the snow bank. And that's
and I don't think I hit anything.
It started out as snow.
Yeah. You know, again, there's times, you know, I think about all the miles I've driven through cities and stuff like that. I'm like, there's got to be one time where there was a mirror that I just didn't even hear or notice. There's got to be somewhere some guy walked out. What the heck happened to my mirror? You know, I don't know. You can't win them all.
Nope. If it was me, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, that's all you can say. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, karma's probably bit me in the ass already for it. Yeah, so don't worry.
You paid for it. And if it hasn't happened, it will.
Exactly. You know, I think that's the hardest thing, especially coming in. You know, again, it wasn't like I had graceful entrance into trucking. Right. You know, they sent me down to Philly, and Philly is one of those cities where you either learn quick or you hit stuff. And it's a city of
brotherly love. Come on, brother.
That's it.
Yeah, they're full of it.
Oh, yeah.
Brotherly love, I mean.
Oh, yeah. They definitely help you out down there.
Yeah.
But no, you know, so it's like, you know, I've had my scrapes and the scratches, you know.
Yep.
You learn from all their learning experiences. You keep moving on, but it's not easy to get into.
No.
And, you know, again, I would not want to be an 18, 19, 20-year-old trying to get into trucking again. It's just, I have no aspirations for that.
It's like you're glad those days are over.
Absolutely.
You know,
I always sat there year after year. You know, the first year, I was like, man, how did I do this when I first started?
Yep.
Then the second year, I was like, how was I doing this a year ago with all I know now? And then the third year, I'm like, there's no way. How did I even survive, you know, that first year? Because it's just you learn more and more. Now it's just, you know, it becomes secondhand.
Yeah, and year five, you said, why the hell did I?
Why am I doing this?
I mean, listen.
I keep abusing myself.
There was about 3-4 years in, I was seriously thinking about getting between, you know, I was disenchanted with the jobs I had. Yeah. They weren't paying as much as I thought they would. And the work. I thought about getting out of trucking, and you know, like I said, it was an industry I did love the job, but brought me back because I do love the industry, you know, and I, you know, here I am.
And the thing is nowadays, you know, I mean, what they require for, you know, the amount of on the job training that you already have, you know, experience, you know, road experience or whatever is a lot less. And, you know, you're starting out in an industry now where there's a driver shortage.
Yep.
So the pays have been boosted.
Yeah.
So you're not starting out. When I started at Pitt, it was $10.75 an hour.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and it was like that for 3 years. And, it, you know, you just did, it's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, so.
The guy across the street wasn't paying much more.
Right.
And I got in 2008. We all know what happened in 2008.
Exactly.
The global financial crisis.
Yeah.
I remember applying to a job. I went through, it was either one or two interviews with them, and I didn't hear from them for a month, you know, just nothing. All of a sudden I get a letter in the mail. Yeah. Because of the way the economy's going, we're just not filling that position.
Wow.
And, you know, and there I was kind of waiting, hoping, you know, there's not a lot of prospects, you know, for jobs. Hey, I could only drive in PA. I'm 18 with a fresh license. Yeah. Good luck.
You have an intrastate license. You can't get out of there.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's hard. And, you know, I just had to take whatever. I mean,
and that's what you do. You take whatever. And that's why you get, you know, you get the less pay and you're taking
no
the
sign
jobs.
On bonus. No. You know,
sign-on bonuses didn't exist in the LTL world when I started.
Right.
You're lucky to get a job.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
That's all new.
Like, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just like you said, from the time you started to now.
Yeah.
What's transpired?
Yeah.
The requirements.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Instead of 3-4 years experience, and now we're going 18 months.
Right.
Well,
you
even
know,
that.
This and that. You know, the pace up.
Yep,
and,
way up.
And they're I mean, at Pitt anyway, they're actually working with you, keeping you local, so, you know, they're not throwing you into the wolves of New Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
You're getting your feet wet, you know, close by, and then you're kind of making your circle bigger as you get more experience.
Which
is when I did LTL, when you were talking about it, I was laughing. My LTL run used to be, I left Allentown.
Yeah.
I went through Blairstown up in the Newton.
Yeah.
My last stop was Cape May on a 53 footer. Yeah. You just went around Jersey. Yeah. If you didn't have every one of those maps, and I didn't even buy the paper maps because I needed the laminated book because you're constantly paging through it. Yes. And if you had the page maps and you lost one, you're screwed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know, so yes, I went with the laminated ones and it was forever, you know. When they say, oh, I just run North Jersey. Well, so do I, but they consider North Jersey all of Jersey.
Right. Right.
Because where we were, that's what we covered. We covered all of Jersey.
No, yes.
Yeah.
Before I came to Pitt, you know, I worked for, it was a smaller LTL company. Uh-huh. So we were in that same position Pitt was, or you know, P-Jacks back in the day, where you didn't have the freight volume to have a Newark guy.
Right.
And so when I first started,
you were a Jersey guy, period.
I was west of the terminal. Right. You know, and that could be out to Carlisle, down to Lancaster, down to Philly, sometimes South Jersey. And, you know, I mean, we were doing.
That sounds like one of my first truck driving jobs. Right. After produce, I worked for Johnson Motor Lines down in Easton.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever hear of John's Motor Lines? That's right. That was after, you know,
they probably
after
still
produce.
Have your truck that you drove.
Probably. Yeah. Yes. Yes. But he gave me a shot. You know, I was like, I appreciate that. You know, it was that type of thing where you're all over the place.
And that's just how it was. Yep. I mean, even going back to that, you know, getting a shot, that's why I remember when I left, you know, my first job, you know, my manager was like, you know, I hate to lose you, but I seen this coming. Yeah. I mean, I was driving 45 minutes for the job that's paying me hardly anything. You talk to the National Food Service Company. They'd laugh at you at the restaurants. They'd be like, how much are you getting paid to do this? You
know, not enough.
That's a definite. And, but you were just grateful for the opportunity.
Right.
You know, which I think, listen, I don't want anybody to go through what I had to go through.
Right.
But it did help you grow an appreciation for, you know, the companies that did help you, the industry itself, and just the companies that are way better at, you know, treat you better. Cause, you know, listen, the grass isn't always greener out there.
Nope.
And, you know.
Sometimes it's AstroTurf.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And they'll sell you a dream. That was the hardest
thing.
And
it's a tar pit underneath the AstroTurf.
They have some sinkholes too.
Yes.
No, I mean, it's rough. And, you know, the requirements, like you were talking about, like even once I'm sitting there now, I'm 21 years old. I feel like, oh man, I've been in this industry 3 years now.
Right.
I got the experience, but now I'm knocking on doors, trying to find another place to go to expand my career.
Right.
Well, we can't hire you because of insurance reasons until you're 24. You know, and I ran into that wall. You got 5 years experience. You're 22 now, but we can't touch you because our insurance says so. And that's actually, I couldn't even, I mean, I probably could have came to Pitt and worked a straight truck or something like that. But literally when I started, I couldn't even apply because I was 23 at the time. I couldn't apply for line haul.
Wow.
Because, I think the requirement at the time was 24 or 25.
25, I think.
I think so. So I couldn't even.
23 for city. 25
for road.
Yeah.
And 20, it was actually 21 for straight
truck.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was the one big thing is when I did start my first company, I got put into a straight truck to start off.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't like that. You know, it was like, no, I got a class A. I want to be in a tractor trailer. Right. This is what I'm doing this for. But, you know, that was all for my benefit.
Yeah.
And I look back on that now. That was all for my benefit. Now, mind you, they were tandem axle straight trucks. They were like 13 some foot tall. They were a beast to drive. And in food service, you know, you always go, it's a straight truck. It's a pup. No, it's all relative. Those streets that you wouldn't go down with a 53 or a 48 or a 45 or a 40 even, you're going down with a straight truck or a pup. And it's tight, you know. But yeah, like I said, it was frustrating to be in a straight truck at first.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I didn't want to go to a job like Pitt where it's like, okay, you'll hire me. Maybe I'll make more money, but I'm not going back to a straight truck.
Right.
I'm driving trailer. So, you know.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Being you did start out in a straight truck.
Yeah.
You kind of got a feel for the roads.
Absolutely.
You know, it was kind of like on the job training your mind was more at ease when you did make that jump into a trailer.
It was. Absolutely. No. And even like Zach here, like when he started off in straight truck, best thing to do. I would recommend it to anybody. You know, again, that was just me wanting to be gung-ho, getting the big truck and drive it around, you know. But no, the years doing straight truck, I think it was about a year, year and a half until finally a trailer opened up because, you know, those guys were who were at the end of the grinding mill, you know, they were moving on to bigger and better things. I was just happy to be in a trailer,
right?
You know. No, that was, I look back and I go, yeah, that was, and even, you know, like, sometimes I think about Pitt, I'm like, man, if I would have just went to the dock at 18, got trained by them, I'd be here the for
seniority.
15 years now.
Yeah, the seniority
but I go, I'm glad I got the bumps and bruises elsewhere.
Yeah.
I'm glad I came in with a good 7-8 years experience coming into this job. Cause, you know, I'd rather do it away from the company, come here and, you know. Right. Already be settled rather than, you know,
rather than learning all this stuff
on here.
You had the tires kicked at
exactly,
that point.
Exactly. They already had a couple scuffs. They were worn down. Yep. And I'm happy for that. Even like seeing trucking outside of just LTL.
Yeah.
You know, I like the LTL industry is crazy and it's interesting. I mean, you know, I think about I'm picking up something in North Jersey and the next day it's in Detroit, you know, by 9 o'clock.
And plus with LTL, you don't need to apply for a gym membership. You're getting your workout during the day.
It does. And food service.
And the food service in the same way.
Oh, yep.
It keeps you moving.
Yeah.
I even think about that. Like line haul, that was one thing I did miss, you know, is you're not as active, you know.
I don't miss it anymore.
You get to a point.
Yeah, when you get of a certain age.
Yeah.
When your knees start to hurt,
yes.
You're like, I'm thankful for this automatic.
There are some points where, you know, you grab an empty trailer and the door's up. Man, I gotta climb up this trailer.
Yeah.
And you know, how the heck did I used to do this?
You do, exactly.
You know, 30 times a day.
Oh, yeah.
And you go to do it, you feel like, what am I doing? I'm on the
ball. Yeah.
I'm gonna get hurt.
Do this. Yeah. Yeah.
What do they think I am? A young kid.
And, you know, some days it's like, man.
That's when you call the dock. Can you send somebody out here?
Take to the shop. I think there's something wrong with it.
Of course, Doc.
Yeah. No. It's. I mean, I remember being at that first food service job, and there were guys in their 60s who were still doing it.
That's amazing.
And I just think about it, because I always equated 1 year in food service was 4 years of abuse on your body.
Yep. It's like dog years.
It really is.
Food service is like working dog years, man.
It was.
It's one for every seven.
Yeah. And LTL is weird. You know, like a lot of guys go, oh, it's easier. In LTL, it's like, well, kind of, you know, because in food service, I decided how much weight went on that hand cart. You know, it's like, yeah, sometimes you had to go into the basements, but I decided. So, you know, but in LTL, when that customer goes, yeah, that skid of drums has to go over there and you need to lift gate it down. And, you know, it's 2,500 pounds. You're pushed to the point where you're like, I just can't do this.
Right.
And there's plenty of instances like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that was another reason why I went trailer, because you just point. That's yours.
Yeah.
You know,
for the most part.
I need a lift. Well, see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Somebody else will see you.
Sorry. You know. Yeah. It, you know. So, yeah, I mean, food service definitely beats you up. That's a war of attrition on you.
It is, yeah.
LTL is more like a blitzkrieg. It just hits you all at once.
I like the way you put that. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
But, yeah, it's enjoyable, though. At the end of the day, though, you know. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, especially going to food service, I was young and dumb, and, you know, that's great for a young laborer.
It is. That's exactly what they want.
Whatever you want, you know.
Like other people have said, you know, trucking companies, you have your percentages of new guys, you know, medium seniority, and then the guys are just counting the clicker until they can get out.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, you got to have that mix there, because if you have too much of one populace, you're not going to get a lot of work.
Exactly.
And,
you know,
that's where trucking's hurting. I mean, it's starting to change because.
Right.
I don't know if it's people just looking for the career change. They see the paychecks because the world today that, you know, they look at trucking as an opportunity. So you see some younger guys. We see it at Pitt. But yeah, you know, a lot of those guys who are still holding out, they got a few years left, you know.
Right.
What's great is, you know, it's not even like they're less productive. They're just so good at it. They make it look easy.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't appreciate that at all.
It's the work
time.
Smarter, not harder.
Absolutely.
Mentality.
And I did that at food service. Like, I remember a lot of times you get double up on runs. If things were slower, a heavy run, you know, you go with a guy. I had this one guy the one time. He goes, okay, you do the produce. I'm going to do the dry goods. And I'm sitting there. I'm running. I'm sweating. I'm running up and down the ramp and doing this. He's just at this pace. And I'm noticing his palate is just emptying out faster and faster than mine is.
Right.
He's going a farther distance. fastest, but he just had a consistent pace. He knew what he was doing. He knew how to build that hand cart right. And those are all just the little things you learn. And, you know,
the little nuances.
Right. Yeah. As annoying as it is, because listen, the number one thing that used to drive me nuts was the older guys who just had to give you advice about everything.
Yeah.
It wasn't always for your benefit. Sometimes it was just so that they could tell you how to do something. And, but you know, as a young guy, you just got to humble yourself. You got to open your ears and just go, okay, you know, you're right. You know, a lot of guys will spin you a tale with, you know, no ending, but, you know, again, the amount of times I heard about guys driving backwards and how they done that more than I've done forwards. It's like, what are you doing? You know, where are you going?
Where are you going backwards, dude?
You know, it's like, that's frustrating. But
they made a wrong turn.
And they had to back out,
You know, and listen, I've done that. But it's just like, sometimes you got to sit down and you got to appreciate that slowing it down. Just learning the ins and outs, being a little more efficient. And that's where I'm trying to get to these days. Yeah. You know, it, man, does it make your life easier?
It does. Yeah. It does. You know, when you actually take your time. And that's one of the things, even like learning, like what you know, new drivers learning to drive, you know, it's like I was reading, somebody had posted something on Facebook, you know, like what's, you know, some good advice from, you know, from truck drivers who have been driving for, you know, more years.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one guy had posted patience, patience, patience.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just be patient. You know, don't be in a hurry to do anything.
Yep.
Open your ears and listen. Pay attention to what people around you who do the job.
Yeah.
Telling you.
You're in a hurry. That's when the stupid accidents
happen. Exactly. That's when all the dumb crap happens. And don't let anybody rush you. When you're backing up or whatever, you take your time and you do it right.
Yeah.
You know, and if you got to pull up, you pull up, you do whatever you need to do. Don't let anybody rush you.
As long as you're not in front of me.
Right.
Take all the time you want.
Don't forget to open your barn doors. Well, before you, you know.
Right.
As you train out across the yard.
Across the whole yard.
And you go and open the barn doors.
That happened to me last night. Surprise. Yes, it was hilarious. I was like, I'm in the yard in Allentown. And one of the drivers is backing in. And I knew he didn't he had to forget, you know, because I pulled in behind him and he's got barn doors and I'm like, okay, so I'm waiting for one guy to back in and he's going to back in. And he pulls up and he's gets himself all set up and I'm like, he's not even going to open his doors. I know he's not. He starts backing it up. I set my brakes, got out of my truck, walked over and got his attention. I'm like, you have barn doors. And he's like, Oh, yeah. So I had to pull back out, open the barn doors. There you go. Well, you know, it happens.
You know me, a people person.
I know. I can imagine.
I would have left to get in. Well, now you know it fits. Now you got to pull it out.
You still got barn doors.
All right, now you're all lined up. And now you got to pull out.
I've done that.
And they just back straight.
Yes. I've done that in Harrisburg already.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah, you know, our trailers, basically, we don't have barn doors
99%
anymore.
99% of roll-ups.
Now you're getting different trailers coming in. And
it was a Ross trailer last night. And that's usually what we have.
It's like, you know, you do your pre-trip, you walk by, and it's like, oh, yeah, I got barn doors. Yeah.
I got to remember that when I get there.
And it completely forgot. I mean, I got to the point where I actually wrote it on the other manifest. You know, swing door.
Right.
You know, just to remember because I did that and Lonnie down there. He says, he did a hell of a job, but he says, you know, we had a bitch of a time trying to unload the trailer. I says, why? What happened? He said, well, we couldn't get the doors open because they were swing doors. We had to pull it out. I'm like, oh.
You should tell him, you built the dock. Why didn't you make it low so you could
open the doors? Inside, right.
You know,
and actually put enough room between the trailers that it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. Well, that's that. Then you're talking about a terminal that's an airport. Then.
Yeah, I know. But it's all right. I'd rather have an airport.
Yeah.
And actually be able to fit in between the trailers and try and crank down the landing gear.
Well, I think that's what drives you nuts about the new infrastructure. Like, you see it over in Jersey. They're still trying to fit warehouses or anywhere, really. They're trying to fit these warehouses. And they still don't have enough room for trucks to back in.
Yep.
And then now, this is with it just built new. Then all of a sudden, okay, well, we need to drop trailers out here along the edge, and we need to do this and that. And now it already wasn't built for, you know, sleepers,
for 53s or anything. Exactly.
And now you're taking more room away. And, you know, it's like, okay, I understand space, but
you know, man, it's really messed up when a trucking company itself does that. OD, yeah. OD goes and builds a brand new terminal off of Broadhead in Bethlehem, and you look at that thing like over on the weekend, their trailers double stacked around, and like they can't. Yeah. Like, wow. good thing they have all these pups because I'm like, you probably can't even swing a set in there.
Yeah, because some days, because I live up by there, and some days you're figuring. That security guard's probably got one of those mopeds that he can just fit down the middle. Because you can't fit anything else. No. It's like you said.
No.
They're doubled out from the fence. They're doubled at the dock. Wow. You know, and then they got their tractor stacked. That terminal was like the roadway. Well, like the roadway terminal up the road. That was just a small break terminal. It wasn't supposed to get as big as it did. Yeah. It wasn't supposed to be as busy as it is.
No.
And there's no room for them to grow there at that point.
And that's what you see. I think it happens in certain areas like the Lehigh Valley. Where,
I mean,
it just how exploded.
Many times? Yeah, how many times? You know, here's 100,000 square foot. You know, here they're building, here they're building.
Yeah. I mean, you look at any LTL company in the valley, your terminal is probably too small. Every one of them. You know, and there's no land because you're being outbid by the warehouses that probably got way more money to, you know, like an Amazon that could, you know, take that room. And, everybody's, and then again, you got to start fitting equipment in there, room for growth, you know, more drivers. If you got more freight, you need more drivers. You need more tractors, but you need more trailers.
Exactly. Well, I had read, up there locally in, I'm going to say Schnecksville in that area. Somebody just wants to make a parking lot for their reefer trailers.
Wow.
Like a drop lot.
But now they got to, you know, do the study on the noise pollution because the reefers are going to be running. Wow. You know, the light pollution from the parking lights, you know, being up that they can actually see the lot, which is a whole different phenomenon now.
Yes.
But, they got to do all these studies, and they want to drop 90. It wants to be a lot big enough to drop 90 trailers.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's for
sizable.
Yeah. So it's for somebody's, you know, I would say food warehouse because they quote unquote are all refrigerated trailers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's a big issue about that. They just no warehouse. All they want to do is run water and sewer to the guard shack because it's going to be guarded. You know, that they have, you know, all the modern conveniences, the facilities, but it's not, you know, it's an empty lot. You know, it's elaborate. Just a lot. Yeah. Just a lot with a fence around.
Wow.
And they got to jump through all these hoops to get this thing done.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, parking in general. I mean, I feel bad for these over the road guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, PA status.
Think of the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah.
Where's their truck stop? The only one is that Trexler Town.
Yeah.
And,
Trexler Town.
You know, and the Wawa.
Yeah.
Is the Bandit considered Lehigh Valley?
Well, Bandit. Yeah. It's not the Bandit. It's some other truck stuff, but that's a truck.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
All those warehouses from Easton, Allentown, and Bethlehem,
Phillipsburg. You go into Jersey there. It's not like they have much parking over there.
Right.
There's a couple truck stops, you know, a few miles outside of Phillipsburg. But no, it gets even worse as you go to like our area.
The further east you go, the worse it gets.
Oh, yeah. You know?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, what you really have to do is you got to park somewhere in Berks County and then drive to your stop.
Pretty much.
Just got to sleep it off here, you know, and sleep it off. That didn't sound right. Well, you know what I mean?
Don't lie. Look at out here in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
Some nights the on ramps, the off ramps going both ways are parked to the.
Yes.
They're trying to finagle their way through to get on the interstate.
Yeah. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, it's crazy.
And I pity that last guy because that's the guy I fear the most. Gonna eventually get woken up the worst possible way. Somebody's gonna rear end him.
Yep. You got it. It is crazy, and that's the industry. That's just the way it is, and you deal with it.
I think that's a lot. I feel bad for them because we're the ones. Not us, but you know, we're building these warehouses, these companies. You know, trucks are moving everything. But then you're not considering where they got to go to stay.
Yeah.
You know, where they got to fuel.
Yep.
You know, there's for every, you know, how many warehouses you got saying, oh, well, we really should have a truck stop. So they're not sitting in our local roads.
Right.
I mean, it's not like, you know,
it's common sense.
They just have nowhere to go.
I've said it already where there should have been a major truck stop on 33 at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
I say it,
you know, they got rid of the one up. They don't have that Bartonsville one anymore. No. Years ago, it used to be the 76 up there.
That's not there anymore.
No.
Wow. Some kind of shopping mall or something last night.
Yeah, they put a big shopping mall.
Yeah.
If I ever hit the lottery, I would put a truck stop on 33.
But the problem is.
It would be filled every night.
Yeah. It would be filled every night.
Yeah.
And I would make sure there's a quick check there.
But I don't even think, you know, most of these truck stops even charge parking now. Because years ago, it used to be like...
you paid a little...
The TA over in Jersey at exit 7, you used to get a ticket. And if you were there less than 4 hours or something...
Yeah. They reserve spots over there.
Yeah. Call ahead seating, I call it.
15 open spots for a guy coming in 10 hours from now.
Right.
And a guy's just trying to go there to take his 30 minutes off.
Right.
It's like, you know...
Yep.
I use those spots for my 30.
So do I. Exactly.
Tell me to move.
I got family that lives down the road on 173, and they're just talking today about how the outside the Citgo, the truck's double stacked there.
Yeah.
And when you're coming out of Citgo, you can't see it. And I sit there, I say, well, shame on the guys double stacked, but the ones up against the curb, I don't see an issue.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But when you're talking, these guys are on the edge of the road now in a 40, 50 mile an hour road in Jersey. They're doing 60, obviously, coming down it. You can't see. And that's a danger. Nowhere to go.
They got nowhere to go.
So I feel on both ends.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the trucks don't want to be sitting in these little towns.
No, of course
they
not.
They want to be in a wide open space. Now, you ask any driver, they don't want to be sitting on the side of a road taking their lunch.
Which I've done.
Yeah.
Well, we usually take ours in, you know, a terminal.
Yeah,
because we're graced with that because that's incorporated into our paperwork week.
Yeah. No, that's I remember
on an every terminal balance. Yeah, there, you know.
No, I've been that guy. Like when I was doing the food service, I remember the one time specifically, the one restaurant like closed down for a bit and was reopening. So I had like almost a full 48 for him to take into this new renovated restaurant.
Wow.
But I had to be there at a certain time, so I was like, well, the only place to park is going to be the, you know, the off ramp from the highway that leads right to the place.
Right.
And I sat there. That was the worst sleep I ever got. Yeah. I'm sitting there trying to sleep because it was during the day because we delivered at night. So every car that's coming down that, you know, exit is just whooshing by. The whole tractor goes back and forth. And, you know, it was terrible.
It wasn't happening.
No, it was. Yeah. It was bad. And like I said, I don't miss that.
No. And unfortunately, there seems to be nobody catching on and no planning for it.
No.
They're not even, it's like they don't even think about this.
It's not going to make them money.
Yeah.
And it's convenience for other people.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. Well,
the
larger issue at bay is thinking about yourself and not the big picture. Like I said, I mean, you're going to sit here. Yeah. I'm going to have this warehouse here. You know, I'm going to make a ton of money and everything. Well, actually most of them are just leased out.
Right.
You know, it's just, you know, so they're not going to go out of their way to make a convenient truck stop. And you bring that to a board at like a meeting.
No,
we don't want trucks.
We don't want that. Not in my backyard.
The trucks are already here. They're
exactly.
This is a centralized place for them to go.
Yeah.
With ease of access to the highway system. Like, but
people love the stuff that trucks bring.
They do.
They love this stuff, but they don't love truckers.
No, it's like I said.
And they don't like trucks.
You want to get rid of the truck? Stop buying shit.
Yeah. Yep.
They don't realize what each truck has inside of it. They just see this big truck. It's in their way because they're running late for their, you know,
all the time.
Yeah.
They don't see that is, you know, medical equipment that's going to a dialysis center, saving their loved one. No. We're just the person who's always in the way. That's why we're here. We're just trying to be in the way. We're not trying to get a job done.
Yeah.
You know?
It's been the aim of my life, just be in the way.
That's
how they seem like that.
This past week, I mean, I didn't do anything, and I got flipped off like five times. And that's
number one.
I'm number one. Yeah, I didn't do anything. I'm like this. I'm pretty sure this lady blew a yield sign, and she had to stop because I was driving straight on a road, and she flipped me off. And I'm like,
how dare you be here?
How dare I do what the roadway? Like, you know,
we're simply existing.
Yeah. It's times like that. You're just like, gosh, it's tough.
Those are the times where you question.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Yeah.
And you know why.
And then the paycheck hits.
And you're like, okay.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know,
flip me off all you want. I don't know. What am I going to tell you?
Going back to like, you know, being in this 14, 15 years now. I don't know. Maybe it's just because of where I was, what I did or whatever. But I've noticed a big change in the way that you are treated out on the road.
Right.
I mean, I remember, you know, my first like delivery jobs, if I had to back in off a road or something,
somebody would stop for you.
I'd simply, you know, put my four ways on, do everything I'm supposed to go. When they saw the four ways, they started slowing down. I set myself up, back in, I'm out of your way in 15 seconds. You know, maybe it used to be like 30 seconds, 45 seconds when I first started, no matter what, less than a minute, you're on your way. I'm back doing my delivery, probably outside the cab. Everybody's happy. Again, we go to Jersey, which is notorious. You know, people, they got to go. You know,
they're passing you while you're trying to back in on the sidewalk.
Yeah, exactly. No, and
behind you.
That's what they're.
Well, that's what I mean. While you're backing up, they're on the sidewalk.
The lot you're going into, they're going into also.
Right. And that's not exaggeration. No, that's not literally what's happened. Probably happened to me 3-4 times this week as I'm just trying to back into spots. And what really gets me is like, I'm in an industrial area. It's not like I'm backing into somebody's house.
Right.
You know, I'm backing into a place that has docks every 100 feet. You know, so it's not a surprise.
Right.
You know, you work at one.
What's he doing?
Yeah, exactly. These people are working at a place that does exactly what this place is doing that I back into.
Right. Yeah, but you don't understand. I have to be at work at 7 and it's 6:59.
Exactly. And, you know, it's like, sorry, unfortunately, I have to be here now. You know, and... Yeah, so that's you see a huge change in that in the, you know, I mean, that's not just the industry, that's driving overall, and I don't think anybody would debate that.
No, I don't think so. I think you're right.
Yeah, it's just getting worse, and I understand that's what pushes people away from wanting to do a job like this. You want to drive all day? Why would you want to do that?
I think that's that statement covers a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as, you know, labor intense jobs, plumbers, welders.
Yep.
You don't see all these places are looking struggling.
If it's not tech, I don't want to do it. My generation.
I want to be able to work from home.
Work from home or in an office that's temperature controlled.
Like I said, if it's not tech.
You're telling me you're going to get dirt under my finger? No, I'm not interested.
I don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't work like that. No. Yeah. Exactly.
You just look at it. Yeah.
You know,
I mean, shoot, I got my boiler serviced last year and the guy's telling me, he's like, hey, sorry, we had to push you off for so long, but we just literally have nobody.
Right.
Nobody wants to get into this. Some of the new guys that come in, you know, they tell them the wage and they go, well, no, I'm not going to work this for that. So they find somewhere else. You know, I don't know if they find better, but they're just not willing to work for that.
No.
And, you know, it's hard. So people are trying to make it more attractive. And that's why I think I tell people the job's not going to get more attractive. Again, it's that concrete wall we're both butting up against.
Yep.
Employer, employee. There's not a whole lot to do about that. Sure, they could compensate you a little more. They could work with you a little bit more.
Right.
But again, if we're all, you know, given a list of demands as to when we'll work, how we'll work, what we'll do, you know.
Yeah, that
it's not going to work.
The hours of work get shorter.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I don't want to do that so much a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
no matter how much lipstick you put on it,
it's still a pain. Remember?
Right.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that is the way it is. You know, and I mean, what do you say to that? You know,
and that's why I can't tell anybody. I never convince anybody that, you know, to stay in it. Yeah. I will advise people against getting out trucking for the wrong reasons. Again, like you were saying about this is a lot of industries.
Yep.
You know, like I had a buddy of mine who wants to get out because, you know, it's the people you deal with every day.
Right.
And it's like, whoa. You talk to a cashier at a McDonald's, talk to a plumber, talk to anybody. What are they going to tell you they hate about their job? Oh, I got to deal with these people. I hate my customers.
Yep.
That's not a reason to get out of trucking.
No.
Yeah, whatever job you do, there's going to be a coworker you hate. There's going to be a customer you hate dealing with.
Yep.
And, you know.
Now, that doesn't happen at Pitt, Ohio.
Not at all. No, Pitt, Ohio is completely
exempt. We love our fellow employees. We all do. We're all awesome.
Yeah.
We are all awesome.
We all bleed red, right?
I don't know. Mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly.
But no, I mean.
But no, it's just reality. I mean, people rub each other the wrong way. Yeah, that's just, you know, that's just reality. You know?
Yeah.
But it is what it is. It's just you can't force someone to do a job.
No,
you can tell them about a job. You can tell, you know, my own kids. You know, it's like I talk to my own kids. I love my kids. You know,
yeah.
And there's things I want my kids to do and things I don't want my kids to do.
Yeah.
When Tony started driving for Pitt,
yeah,
I wasn't happy. Not because I don't like Pitt.
Yeah.
I just didn't want him driving. Because I know that, you know, driving is going to be, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours. Well, not 8, 10, 12 more a day. And you have kids. And you want kids. And you're doing this. And, you know. It's just the way it is. Like I knew what it was, and he knew what it was growing up. But he was like, "Yeah, but it's a good job,
right?"
And I was
like,
"All right, you know, I can't tell you. You're married. You're an adult. You live on your own. You do what you want to do. Right. It's just, it wasn't my druthers for him, but actually, I thought it was good for him.
Yeah,
you know, it was a good job. He worked here for 8 years and has moved on. But
yeah,
you know,
it was a stepping stone.
It was.
He wasn't planning on, you know, making a career out of it.
Sometimes that's all it is. And you know, the industry loves you. They'll use you while you're there. And,
exactly. You know, they'll use you and abuse you. It's okay. Yeah.
And that's fine. No, it's funny because, I remember when I got into this, you know, like I said, everybody in the family was kind of surprised. I even took an interest in trucking and planned on doing it. And, you know, my dad, he really didn't advise against it, but, you know, he gave me a couple of heads up. He goes, you know, this isn't Sunday driving.
Exactly.
And because I had gotten my license at that time, and I found out how much I enjoyed driving.
Yeah,
which sounds stupid to a lot of people, but
that was my draw too. I actually really like driving.
I you know, my favorite thing was to go on road trips with my friends. We'd go Friday night, you know, go drive somewhere. It didn't matter where, we were just going, and I really enjoyed that. So that was part of the appeal.
It's when you could afford to go driving.
Yeah,
you know, gas wasn't quite what it is now.
Yeah, I could drive. You know, I had a Blazer when I first started driving. I love that thing, and I
filled it up for $5.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not five, but basically when we were young, I was like, yeah.
But no, that's, you know, he just advised me like that. But I remember years later, he told me about when he was deciding to go into trucking, you know, my grandfather actually said, are you sure you want to do that? You know, maybe go to college or something. You know, he wasn't exactly like, oh yeah, come on, get into the family industry. Like, you know, and it is
and
hard.
You know, that's what comes from somebody, a dad who's in the industry.
Every father wants their son to do better than
Right. Yeah, you want your kids to do something different.
Was gung ho about
He was.
That's awesome.
He was somebody
he was like, all right, that
from a kid and what
And that's cool.
Yeah,
you know, that's really because I didn't think I never thought about truck driving. I never honestly never really gave it a thought, you know. And years ago, when Triangle was still down in Quakertown, I you know, was working a dock down there, and I used to back trucks in. I was like, I mean, I know you know, I'm only doing, you know, the dock guy, you know, moving it from here to there.
Yeah,
but I was like, that was like my first experience with it. And from that point on, and I did different stuff, and
It's just the thrill you kind of get. It's hard to explain until you're in there. And I mean, listen, we got the automatics these days, which my knees feel way better because of.
Right.
But
there you
man,
go.
When you
his
get,
knees.
Yeah.
I know. And
he's
half our age, dude.
Yeah.
Fair. Bad knees run in.
Yeah. Well, food service didn't help. Yeah. But,
no, it doesn't.
You know.
And you know what? I see some of these guys to this day. Jump off the back of the trailer. The pains in my knees just
and you just you think to yourself, just give it 10 more years, dude.
Going back to those old guys who are telling you stuff you probably don't want to hear, don't jump off the back of the trailers.
Right.
Now, you know, food service, I said, I did it. I was doing it constantly.
Yep.
You have the alley doors, you know, you can either go up the rickety steps that are probably going to snap going into the freezer
because usually bent back.
They're beat up. Or you could spring off of the mud flap and jump up into the door. That's what I did for years. I had shins that were so callous, you could, you know, bang them off a metal pole and not feel a thing. But, you know, there's only one way to get down at that point.
Yes.
And you're jumping down.
That's it.
I said the other day, we were talking about falling out the back of trails. I fell out of every door I had on my trailers at, you know, when I was doing food service.
Yeah, but you learn to tuck and roll.
Exactly. You know, you learn how to fall. Yeah, I shouldn't wear that like a badge of honor, but, you know, it happens.
You learn
it
from
it. You
learn.
You do.
And, you know, again, that was just kind of part of the industry. Again, what are you going to do? You're going to spend another 10 minutes getting those steps out, you know, going up and down them. They're probably going to snap and you're going to fall off them anyway. Or are you just going up there? And that's, you know, but that, I mean, never jump off those docks. You know, it just, again, you know, those years of doing that definitely took their toll.
It does.
I mean, you know, mine are as bad as I'm sure as guys who have been doing this longer than me, but no, but originally going back, you know, missing those 10 speeds, those manual transmissions, I mean, that's a feeling.
It is a
feeling.
You
know, sometimes when you're sitting there, that sun's coming up and you're just, you know, you got, you know,
You're shifting 50,000
pounds in the back, and you know, you're right. just blowing that smoke out the stack. That's a feeling, and it's cool. Maybe yes. not everybody would
you
like it.
You can't do that now anymore. All the trucks burn clean.
They all burn clean.
They don't roll coal. Yeah.
No, they don't. You know, and that's a part.
And now they don't even shift gear. You don't even shift them. Yeah. No clutching.
And you know what? Like, in a part that's probably more attractive to younger guys coming in, you know, you just get in. You get in. You drive.
It's like getting in your car now. Right. I mean, it's just like a big car. It is. It's just like a big car. I mean, you've got Bluetooth radio. You know, you got your Bluetooth, so your phone is hooked right through the stereo.
It's just like your Ferrari.
You've got everything. It is. It's like a big red Ferrari, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we drive. Big red Ferrari.
You lose that feeling of, you know, old school, you know, shifting those gears, jamming them, grinding them, you know.
Listen to somebody else grind them, slamming them in.
But, you know, that's a feeling that you get from this job. And, it is. You know, it's hard to explain. But if you could get that feeling when you're doing that, some guys, they might not be thinking about how cool that is, shifting those gears and blowing that smoke or doing whatever. They're thinking about, like, I got to shift 10 more gears because there's, you know, traffic up ahead. So I got to start, you know, slowing down.
I got to start slowing, moving them down. Here we go.
Some guys just, they focus on that and it's not fun. Again,
And of course, you know, you're starting out in, you know, 2 and you're, you know, working your way up and it takes you forever to get to 50. And then before you know it, you're at another red light and, you know, you're.
Tell everybody, you know, in the Northeast especially, I've done every metro area where the traffic's terrible. Philly, D.C., Baltimore, Boston, you know, I've done them all.
North Jersey
every day. You know, I've done them all in a manual. It's not fun. Nope. You know, trucking is not fun when you're sitting there, you know, on 76 in Philly, you know, another accident, go figure, you know, and you're just creeping along. Guys are cutting you off, you know. That's no fun, but when you could finally get going again and you cleared the accident, you looked at what happened and now you could go, that's fun. And you know, if you can enjoy that, you'll probably enjoy this industry.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, but you know, like I said, other than that,
to be young again.
Yeah.
To be young again. Yeah. God bless you.
Well, go ahead. What were we going to say, Ship? Go ahead. I wasn't trying to cut you off, dude. I'm sorry.
All right.
I apologize. Won't happen again. It probably will.
Do you have any aspiration of going back to line haul, say, maybe, you know, down the road?
In 30 years.
10, 15 years, you know.
I love line haul. I would go back tomorrow.
If it had daytime.
I'm very much a night person. That was one thing. Oh, yeah. Line haul, I love the schedule. Again, significant other, didn't like it so much.
Right.
I don't blame it. That's hard.
Totally get it.
I enjoy it. I'd go back tomorrow. I probably would have never left. Obviously, there's hard things, you know.
A little piece of advice from the old guy to you.
Here we go.
If you're going to plan on having kids. Wait till they're through all the sports, you know, or baseball, whatever.
There's a lot of life to live during the day now.
Right, but exactly.
Yeah, I always loved working nights. So,
I mean, you grew up with it.
That's the thing. There was no surprise.
Just keep that in the back of your mind.
Yeah. There's no surprise.
That's the only advice I can give you.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Thanks for stopping.
Thank you, Mr. Wizard. Advice is over. Yeah. Class is done. But no, it's a different world.
I mean, I said that to Tony, the same thing.
Yeah.
Do what you got to do. You got kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's why those jobs, I mean, you see high paying jobs that run at night, you know, guys avoid them. They have a hard time filling them because it's a whole nother.
It's a whole different world. Yeah. It's not only just. You know, at night, it's the person being able to stay awake at night.
And I tell you,
the nighttime driving puts a whole different fatigue on you.
It does. It's not easy because, you know, when I was working in warehouse and trying to get the money together to go do my CDL course, that was nights. And, you know, you're busy in the warehouse, you're talking to other people. And even my dad, like when I was, when I was with the food service company, we were doing the overnights, I struggled on that schedule.
Oh, even when you were young?
Because,
you know, a lot of people.
Did you hear him say that?
I'm not.
When you were young.
Young.
What are you not? You know, oh, I'm your agent, dude. What the heck? I got bad knees.
The point I'm trying to get to is, you know, when I was 16, 21,
you could burn the candle at both ends.
Right.
Yeah.
2 hours of sleep, I'm good for 48.
Yeah.
You know, now I go through the night. Oh, I'm going to get home at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to do this, this, and this. 6:05 hits. Screw it. I'm done with anything.
Yeah.
No, tomorrow's another day.
Yeah, we'll try again tomorrow.
Surprisingly,
every morning, dude.
Yeah. A big thing for me was, you know, when I did nights initially, I didn't run the schedule. Like, I know a lot of guys, they try to live like a normal person the days they're off.
Yep.
And that did not work out for me.
Yeah, it ain't.
When I came to Pit Line Hall, I knew I had to, my life was now, I am up at nights. Right. And that's how I would do it on the weekends. You know, I didn't stay up Saturdays.
Wow.
Saturdays were the worst because, again, you want to see people, you got things going on. So I'd run home.
You have a girlfriend.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I sleep.
And she's awake now.
And that's it. So I'd sleep for a little bit. And, you know, again, I wouldn't stay up till 8, 9 o'clock in the morning like you usually are. So I'd be asleep by, you know, 3, 4 o'clock to maintain the schedule. And that worked for me. But again, it's hard because what do you do from, you know, if you got people in the house, it's 11, 12 o'clock at night. All right, I'm going to bed. Okay, I'm going to stay out in the living room and I'll try not to be too loud. And, you know, you try to find different ways. I mean, you know.
With me, though, I get done Saturday morning.
Right.
I go home. I've tried everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been able to struggle with a nap as long as I got a purpose that I got to do something.
Yeah.
If I don't, I could sleep Saturday away and come back, wake up Sunday.
Yeah.
Now I'm down to a one day off week.
Right.
And that's it. You know, it's like you really do sacrifice.
Yeah. You do. Yeah. You know, it's a rough way to do it. And that's, you know, like for me, you know, we had kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So Saturdays was, you know, Saturday and Sunday, the only 2 days that I really saw him working at night. So guess who's not sleeping Saturday?
Yeah.
You know?
And
it's just the way it was, you know? And I dealt with it. And back then I could. Back then I could stay awake all day.
Yeah, when you
go
were younger.
Go visit family. Yeah. I could go, when I was younger. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could go visit family on Saturday night, stay up till 11 o'clock and still drive and be fine. Now, I hit 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm like,
it's nappy time.
It's like your brain is gone. You're like, what's going on?
That's it. Yeah. And this is why I find it's like, I've always been, I give it to the guys who can do that 2-3. Yeah. I've never really been like that. I've always been a stickler with sleep and routine and patterns.
That's good.
Yeah. So
it really is. It's a healthier way to be.
It really throws me off when I get out of it. Even like with this, like I said, having a start time is beautiful because you can, you know, try to maintain some semblance of a life, even with the long hours.
Right.
So that's, I mean, that's been a constant fight with the trucking industry and me is just trying to keep myself routine because again it's not always a routine.
You don't have a routine.
You
don't have your day every day. Yeah, you have a start time like you said earlier in the show. You know, you don't know when you're getting done, and that's just it. You don't know.
You know, do I got enough time to go home, go see people, go out to eat or do something like this, or am I just going home with enough time to shower and jump in bed
and go to bed because tomorrow's another day?
Yeah And you know what time you got to be there.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
So it is hard. You know, that's a constant struggle. But with the nights, I had a great, for me personally, I had a great schedule set up. I mean, that was probably the happiest I was. I was doing this at this time. And
happy,
you know,
Josh.
It was great. I enjoyed it. But again,
Parks and Rec is on at 11. The office is on at 12.
Yeah, you know, you're up in time for Bob Barker.
Right, there you go. You know,
it was great. You know, but it's you know, but it's just everything else.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the scales of trucking. You
it
know?
Is. It is.
Sometimes you got to balance it the other way to make sure it all comes even.
Exactly. And you want to be well rested.
Yeah.
You know? And twice. Twice a year I go to my friend's cabin.
Right.
And I take the Friday night off, you know, for the weekend. And I could literally sleep Friday.
Yeah.
You know, go leave, you know, like everybody else is, they're getting out of work now, they're headed up to the cabin. Drive up there and I'm there, it's like 9 o'clock, I'm ready to go to bed.
Yeah.
You know, put the sleep machine back on.
Yeah.
Now I slept, and I get my best sleep up there.
Yeah.
It's Sunday. They're packing her shit up to go home.
I always said
it's been fun being.
The thing that kept me going while I was on the night schedule was blackout curtains and white noise machines.
Yep.
I can't sleep without those two things now. During the day, I mean, that completely changed, like, driving at night for me, because not having that light poke in, waking you up every 30 minutes, or, you know, they're doing construction outside and the guy starts with a jackhammer, you flush it. Yeah, you know, it's like, that helps out tremendously.
Josh, this past summer, I had our roof put on our house.
Oh, jeez.
Never heard them at all.
Yeah.
I never heard them.
That's great.
Because I even asked for off, because I said, I said to Brian Will, and I said,
yeah,
I don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah.
And I slept right through it.
That's great.
And I'm like, I called up. Yeah, I'll be in. I'm good.
I don't know how you do that.
My wife says, she says, she came in the bedroom and she says, at first I thought you were dead. Yeah. Then I saw you started breathing. Then she says, I knew you were okay.
Yeah.
She says, I don't know how the hell you slept through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought I slept like a rock, but I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Apparently you really did.
No, that's good.
Dude, man. I never heard those guys. Wow. And I mean, it wasn't like it was one or two. There was like seven of them. It was a whole crew.
Oh, when they do those roofs, sometimes they do two in a day, depending, you know, they crank that stuff off. I mean, they get, you know, they're going at it. So yeah,
That's a job I couldn't do.
But I'm like, that's another young man's sport, too.
Yeah, buddy. That ain't happening for me. Yeah.
Taking shingles up a ladder. Yeah.
No.
Standing on a roof.
Yeah.
Just standing on the roof is enough. Yeah, it's like,
big boys don't have that good of balance.
No. We're top heavy already. Yeah. And you put me on a slant 30 feet in the air. That's not going to go good.
Even though Newton says 32 feet per second per second, I think I'm getting there before you.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going faster than that. Yes. We're going down.
Oh, God.
Well, Josh, it was great having you on.
Yeah,
Thank you so much for coming on.
No problem.
It was really enjoyable. I really had a great time. I
appreciate you having me on.
Oh, man, it was fantastic. It really was.
So, yeah, you could tell all the other people that, you know, I didn't have anything to talk about.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Yeah. I didn't know what to say.
It's a show about nothing.
That's it.
It's like a Seinfeld show.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is bad, man.
Yeah, it is. It is bad. It really is. Well, thank you so much, Josh, for coming on. We really appreciate it.
All righty. Have a good night.